This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 453 of This Week in Narbox. Sorry, Shutters Inc., other podcast. This is Bruce Williams from Shutters Inc. Podcast.
Your turn to start off being funny.
And that there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
It only took him 450 episodes to come out with a funny opener. That's pretty good.
Is that right?
Okay. Wow. Well, this week in Narbox, did we call it? sort of a bad name for it. Or this week in iPhone.
Yeah. How's your week been?
Well, before we start, I just thought I'll just pop over to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, because I would like to dedicate this week's episode to a listener.
Oh, okay.
And I have to pop onto Facebook to remember his name. It's not that I don't care.
Because we value our listeners. It's so not that highly.
I don't. It's not that I don't care. It's just that. No, it's just that it was a trickier one to remember. So I thought I'd go back and make sure I get it right.
I was going to name this episode "Farewell, Rob Coates."
Oh, I have to tell me what that is soon.
We'll get to that later.
I'm going
to
call it the Guadalupe Onus podcast.
Do you know who Guadalupe is?
Not a clue.
Oh, she works.
She. Even.
Oh, God. Now, which company was it?
She's the one from the volcano.
No, I had the guy on, Aaron. Flern. She's Aaron's PA.
Flern?
Yeah. So I had Aaron on the podcast.
Oh, Learn is in the Learn.
Yeah, the photography Learn mod.
Good. Yes.
And Guadalupe is Aaron's PA, and she was the one that I sort of exchanged emails with when we were organising for Aaron to come on the podcast. Yeah. And what did she say?
Nothing.
Oh. Right. Okay. All that.
She did like last week's episode of podcast.
Right.
As in, did a Facebook like.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is, yeah, that's pretty huge because we only got two.
Right.
She's 50% of all our likes on Facebook last week, which is
right.
Fairly huge. And the other was Philip Johnson, but yeah, yep. he's a good old reg.
That's so, right.
We haven't had a Philip Johnson episode though, have we?
No, we have not.
Let's go to Guadalupe instead. And sure, she's far better looking than Philip. Not there's anything wrong with that.
No.
It's a lifestyle choice. What are you going to do? So this is our episode for Guadalupe.
Okay.
Right? Cool. And just going to show you, learn something new every day.
There you go.
Boom. How's my week been, did you say?
Yeah.
You know what?
About 5 minutes ago, yes.
I want to talk about Facebook again.
Oh, okay.
And this is all about you now, though.
Oh, right.
I met a Bruce fan on the internet.
Okay.
A Bruce Williams dark table.
I thought you meant a Springsteen fan.
A Bruce fan, a you fan.
Oh, okay.
A dark table YouTube video right. Watcher fan on a Facebook group, in a small group in a small town or small valley in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Who loves your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you.
Name's Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
I'm remembering correctly. It's been a few days, and I've given him a link to our podcast, so he could replace the last number 7 who fell off the chair.
Right.
Possibly Ron Coates, by the sounds of it. I don't know what that's all about. But,
there you go.
My week has been interesting.
Okay.
I've been out location scouting today.
Oh, yeah?
3 degrees, howling wind, felt like -5.
Right, I'll bet.
Which is for spring is
bit brutal.
Actually, it was a bizarre day and pouring rain and then sunshine and then freezing cold. Then I took my jacket off because I was hot and then freezing cold again. It was just the weirdest day.
Yeah, right. So
out location scouting.
Well, you will live in Victoria.
A fabulous place to live. that's been fairly good.
Excellent. And for what particular type of shoot were you location scouting?
For my sneaky project.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yep. And part of my sneaky project, I put a call out on Facebook just today.
Hmm.
I want to see if someone had some nice gowns they could maybe give me access to.
Ooh.
Or dresses, yeah, something fashionable and cool to shoot.
I should do steampunk, mate. You haven't done steampunk yet.
I have no interest in doing steampunk. Tell you what, let me do that just after I do the Red Riding Hood shoot, shall I?
Okay.
Yeah, no one ever does the old Mother in the Shoe or whatever she was called.
No, they don't.
Do they?
No, they don't.
You know? No one ever does. I don't know. What's the other?
Probably for lack of props.
No one's going to really. You just have to take two photos.
Yeah.
One from really low, making the shoe look big.
It's a perspective one pull
from,
shot.
And one from really high, making her look small. Put the two together. It's simple. You don't need a massive shoe, Bruce, to do that photo.
No, you don't.
What about Granny in Little Red Riding Hood? Everyone does Red Riding Hood. Red Riding Hood. No one photographs Granny, do they?
No,
look at me with Little Red Hood. Someone should come out with all the leftover characters from fairy tales and do the shoots for them because they need their time in the sun.
That's right.
They've been sort of on the sidelines for so long.
Right.
History. What about Hansel and Gretel? What about the witch who owned the house?
Yeah.
No one's ever done a nice shoot of her.
No.
I haven't seen a Hansel and Gretel one either.
Maybe I haven't seen a Hansel and Gretel either. Yeah.
You know, there's got to be one out there, don't you?
I'm sure there is.
They're probably, and you know, if you're going to go all the effort doing the Hansel and Gretel, you're going to get the witch in there somehow. Surely,
yeah, you would surely. Think so. You would think so.
Be remiss not to.
Mind you, I haven't seen too many wolves appear in any Little Red Riding Hood shoots.
Exactly. Costume-wise, your problem. Cost too much.
Yeah.
So I put this call out for dresses, and I got two fabulous replies from two within minutes from two Project Runway stars. Remember the fashion design TV show.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, it was if anyone's into any sort of photography, it was a good show to watch because it was all about fashion and style and styling and all sorts of stuff. So, it's called Project Runway.
An Australian show or a US show?
So it's a worldwide show, but they're from the Australian, one of the Australian seasons.
Yeah, right.
Funny, that's both in the same season and completely different styles, which will be really kind of cool. Nice. One's incredibly glamorous and classy, and the other is really out there, sort of edgy sort of stuff. So
nice.
That's cool if that comes together.
Yeah.
So I've been doing some wheeling and dealing for the lovely people at Narbox, trying to introduce them to... I've been talking to a friend of mine who looks after 2,000 stores in Germany.
Right.
And I'm trying to get him on board.
Bit of an underachiever, isn't he?
Oh. and I've managed to get him to be pretty energized and enthused to test it out, so that's pretty good.
Cool.
And then I've been approached by a Chinese photographic company to look into their 3D cameras and give some evaluation and stuff. It's pretty interesting. It's not just 3D, 360 and 3D. So it's a 360 camera.
Yep.
It does full 360. But then you kind of break it in half or bend it in two. So you have two lenses kind of eye with the part. And it does 3D 180 views.
Right.
So, you look around with your VR glasses or whatever. That's pretty cool.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to some stuff from then, and that's been my week photographically. Nothing really dramatic at all.
Nice.
Really.
Nice.
Yeah. And yourself?
No photographic stuff.
Getting down in the job.
Yeah, still? Yeah. So I'm in.
You
the
still
midst
got the
of,
job?
Yes, I do. In the midst of production of the second book that I'm doing, but the first book that I'm doing without anyone looking over my shoulder. And I've got to say it's been a bit of a baptism of fire because, I'm trying to learn all these new processes and new software and new hardware, and I've...
Come on, blame the town. Blame the subject.
No. I blame myself, I've sort of learned things over subsequent days and then changed my workflow mid-project, and that's kind of thrown me into a bit of a tailspin, but I've managed to salvage it all today, and it's due for delivery on Monday, so we'll be fine.
I'll get it out the door.
Yeah. So,
has all the audio been recorded?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so it's just the...
Yeah,
it's
getting all of the files processed the right way and then chopped up into the right lengths and formats and encoded into the right formats, because it goes to CD as well as to digital delivery.
Yeah.
So the CD stuff you've got to prepare in one format, the digital delivery stuff you've got to prepare in another format. So there's all this stuff.
Can't you just press one button?
No.
Really?
No.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Because that's just not the way it works.
Why wouldn't they just go, no, let's just
it would
do
be
it.
Like you producing an image for, you know, say, you know, a Tamron of the world and them saying we need a, you know, a TIFF in high res at 300 DPI because that's going to be used for print, but we also need, you know, low res JPEGs to use for social.
Yeah, I've only just got to press one button. Yeah. it takes like 2 seconds to do
yeah,
that.
Okay.
So no, yeah, can't you just go like MP4?
Yes.
Exports.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that. But anyway,
no, I think you just don't understand your machinery well enough. Right?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both.
I think it's like many years, like many, many, many years ago, a mate of mine was living in Sydney and I'm in Melbourne and he was having a really bad day.
Yeah.
He's a mad man. Adam, you remember, mate?
Yeah.
He was having a really hard time. And I was listening to some music on CD on the computer I was on. And I said, look, listen to this song. It'll make you feel better. So I just dragged the little icon from the CD thing onto his thing. Apparently that's not how you do it.
No.
As he quite disgustingly told me 13 seconds later. So he said, you should be able to, though, shouldn't you?
That would be handy.
It's
but,
like dragging a picture from one box to another. Why couldn't you just press a button? Anyway.
Yeah.
So you've had a good week, though.
Yeah, it has been. It has been an interesting week, and I think next week will be much better. I'm starting a new book on Tuesday, and yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's good. Yeah, still learning.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about your stuff.
What stuff have you got on the Well, we got a couple of emails from Rob Coates.
Yeah, so what's going on there?
Okay, so the first one was actually I've got them in reverse order in our little text document. So the first one he sent was, Dearings, had a think about your slogan for the podcast and came up with what I think is a compromise that suits you both.
I thought it was perfect.
I just realised there was a graphic attached to that, and I haven't got the graphic.
I saw the email. That's good.
Remind me of what it said.
It's like Shuttersync podcast,
the world's most useless photography podcast.
It wasn't quite that harsh, but
it was something along those lines.
I think it was pointless. The most pointless.
Hang on, I'm just going back to the email. Where are we? New slogan. Where's the image? Yeah, the world's most pointless photography podcast.
I mean, frankly, he's nailed it. When you think about it, he's nailed it.
I will put that. Right. That is going to be our episode graphic for this episode.
I reckon you should change the header of the whole Facebook page. I reckon leave it up for at least a week. See if anyone notices.
Yeah. Anyway, so nice one, Rob.
Oh, I love Rob's, it. Is that why we're not having any anymore? Because he's being mean to us?
No. Okay. His second email said, G'day, Yanks. Here are the Wildlife Photographer of the Year 2019 winners. And the link will be in the show notes. There's a link to the gallery on the left of the page. It's funny because when I loaded it,
why couldn't he just put the link to the link?
Yeah. It was on the top of the page for me. But anyway, and then he said, I'm going to upgrade my D7000 so I can take photos like what the grand prize winner took.
Makes sense.
Regards. Now, the grand prize winner has this great photograph of a Tibetan fox about to snap this, is it a marmot or something?
Mongoose or something, is it? No?
I think it's called a marmot. Which obviously also lives in the Himalayas. And the winning photograph was taken with a D2X, I think it was, Nikon.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it occurred to me that if Rob wants to take photos like the winning, you know, grand prize winner, Rob's going to have to move to the Himalayas.
Oh, yeah, they've got internet up there, though.
You sure?
Well... they've got it in the middle of the Sahara. It's better than we've got here in Australia. So
well, that's not asking much.
Something. Face it, if you're in the Himalayas, you're closer to the satellites.
That's right. Good point. So
it takes less time to upload and download stuff. Right. You're closer.
That's right.
Yeah. Surely it makes all the difference in the world.
I'm sure it does.
Now, how do we know those two animals aren't stuffed?
Well, we don't.
Well, I think the
it looked like they might be.
marmot might have been stuffed up. No, I think. Yeah, how do you know? I mean, they're
not moving.
No, not at all.
So they could very well be.
And to me, the marmot looks like one of those things that you stuff.
Yeah,
and you put the front of it. When you open the front door, it's just inside, and you hang your coat on his paw.
So here's a conspiracy theory for you.
Oh, you're on.
How do you know that what you're looking at on the webpage isn't a video? Mind blown.
No, he's an idiot.
Okay.
So it's a video of two still subjects. It's a live feed.
That's right.
But it's night time.
Oh, okay. Not over there.
Debunk that. Straight
it's late
away,
afternoon. It's only late night afternoon time. There.
There's snow in the background.
Well, I can't help that.
And a D2X. I mean, who uses D2X?
Yeah, it wasn't even that. It was a EOS 1DX.
So there well, that's okay. That's not as old as a 2X, 2DX, or whatever it's called. Yeah, still a cool shot, though. And the reason why the link might have been in a different place is because, of course, the size of the screen you're viewing on.
Ah, could be that, too.
If it scales to the screen size, it'll change it. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So I know something about stuff.
There's some really good photos there, worth checking out. Adam sent us a bunch of stuff. The first one is watch as
he really should get on and talk about them himself.
He should. He's a slacker. Watch as this Flashpoint Godox battery pack explodes on camera. Now, I was looking at this page just before we started recording. And I figured, the first image there is just a still. I'm sure if I scroll down, there'll be a video. And sure enough, you scroll down a couple of clicks and there's a video and it runs 19 seconds. And I'm thinking, okay. So I click play on that and there's a guy.
I'm doing all that right now.
Guy walks out in his backyard, leans down on the grass, does something, then walks back into the house and nothing happens.
And that's it.
And then there's a second video that's obviously a little bit later after he's walked back in the house and you're still just looking out at the yard, and then all of a sudden the whole video goes white as this thing just completely explodes. And,
Do we know why it was just sitting in his backyard?
I don't. I haven't had a chance to read all of the text, so I don't know if he had a reason to believe that this was going to happen and he put it out in the yard in anticipation or what the story is, but
he was charging two batteries, one swelled up when he was charging it,
right?
So he unplugged the charger, it was hot to the touch, and as well as the battery, a mist of steam and a bad alcohol like smell was coming from the battery. So I was thinking, this isn't good. Really? Hello.
Right.
So he got some paper towels, grabbed the battery, and put it in the backyard, which is what he's doing. Putting it in the first video is to prove he put it in the backyard.
Yeah.
So it's like a meteor landing in the middle of his backyard.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They aren't good, these lithiums, which you know why they don't want you to carry them in the hold of planes.
I suppose.
They can easily.
But it strikes me that it's always the dodgy third party stuff that seems to have the issues.
I mean, otherwise, Samsung.
Yeah, that's true.
With all their battery problems and everything else. But I don't want to go into too much conspiracy theories and stuff. But there is one rumor that was going around is that the Malaysian Airlines plane that's still missing was carrying a huge pallet load of lithium ion batteries in its storage.
Right.
It was transporting them. And so,
it just seems to me that every time I've heard something along the lines of, a Samsung Galaxy phone blew up or an iPhone blew up or whatever it was, it's always come to light that the person who owned the device had charged it with a third-party charger, not with the charger that came with the device.
Yeah.
And I wonder, are there corners being cut with regards to the way voltages are handled in these cheap third-party chargers that, are not cut in the more expensive charger that comes with the device?
Yeah, you could only imagine.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Stick to your genuine stuff, basically, is what you're saying, if you can. Or if you're going to buy knockoff batteries, use a knockoff charger to charge. That works.
Anyway. The next one from Adam is, German researchers develop a sensor that is near impossible to blow
highlights. That's one of mine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you should have done your stories first then, shouldn't you?
I reckon we had this a couple of years ago. They developed it and we've talked about it, and then I think this might be another stage of the development.
I don't remember us talking about this.
Yeah, I've got a better memory than you, obviously.
Well, maybe you do.
Unlikely.
Not outside the realms of possibility.
Well, pretty much is.
So basically the idea of this particular sensor, it says on a 14-bit sensor, the value for maximum brightness comes in this value for each of the red, green, and blue channels for each pixel is somewhere between a value of 0 for total blackness to 16,383 for pure white. Anything that would produce a brightness value higher than that is lost. With this new sensor, when saturation on a pixel reaches the maximum, it just resets back to 0 and keeps counting back up again. And then essentially there's an offset register that tells it how many times it's filled that particular pixel and had to reset to 0.
Yeah.
So basically, mathematically, it can compute at the other end when you need to process the image that, hey, we need to scale all of the, exposures down to allow for this, group of pixels that were all overloaded by factor of X. It's pretty cool mathematically. It sounds very cool.
Yeah.
It does go on to say that this is primarily going to be for video stuff, but the designer of the chip says there's no reason why it couldn't also be incorporated into still photographic uses as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
There's no reason. Logically, why? Yeah, it's just computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third one that Adam sent us, which I really enjoyed, this photographer has recreated all of the famous images from the moon landing in 68 using pieces of Lego and home-built sets, and they are fantastic. I love it.
Do you know how we've got like a bucket for people who are too talented?
Yes.
Should have a bucket for people with too much time on their hands.
This guy's in the bucket.
Oh, definitely. There's definitely that bucket.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Put that time to something good. Go out and save the world, or I don't know, something. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So anyway, definitely worth a look at.
If all the people in this world, save the time they spent reading instruction manuals.
Yep.
Save the time that did building stuff like that.
Then nobody would have a clue how anything works.
Saved all the time that of all the other things I think are useless and pointless.
Yeah.
We could have all this time on people's hands. They wouldn't be going, oh, look how busy everything is.
Right.
They'd have time to do other stuff like building full-size moons with real-size people and photographing them with tiny cameras to make it look huge.
Develop dumber tools that you don't need instruction manuals for.
There you go. Develop the damn robots we're supposed to have to run the damn machine for us the first.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's me. What do you got?
So when you say that's you, what you're saying is that's them.
That's right. That's the stuff on the list.
What are you bringing to the table though, Bruce?
Copying and pasting skills.
Okay. So the first one I've got there is because the heading kind of caught my interest somewhat.
Okay.
And it was 35 powerful photos that each tell a story.
Right.
So I went to look at them.
Wow.
And they don't.
Okay.
So it left me to thinking, well, just how hard is it to tell a story in a photograph? Because you've got so few elements to work with that it can make sense to someone. Like the first one is a really dramatic portrait.
That is a stunning portrait.
Of a guy with four massive scars down the side of his head.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't tell you any story other than this guy's had a hard time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you anything about that it was from the Rwandan conflict and, from the genocide and all this sort of stuff. So it tells part of a story. It tells a little bit of his journey, but it doesn't say anything else.
Yeah.
So that kind of works. The next one, a couple down, is a young girl, you know, kind of kookily framed with a single tear in the corner of her eye.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then they have to tell you the story that, you know, Lerlina is her name, cries in the back of the family car after losing the contest for Carnival Princess at her school.
Right.
She spent the day getting ready with a new white dress and new shoes. Can't see the shoes.
No.
The winner was decided based on whose parents bought the most tickets. And Lerlina's family could only afford $8 worth.
Right.
She's got, but that's a, look at the photo.
No, you don't get all of the story. No.
There's no school. I mean, I don't know how you could tell that story in a in one photograph, but it's like the whole point of this article is photos that each tell a story. No, the story is all the words they put next to the photo. Yeah, the story is what's explaining what the photo is, you know? The next one, there's no words.
Right.
Funnily enough, this one's just called Hard Work in Hong Kong.
Yep.
And it's just four people lined up having their shoes polished.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, as if the title's Hard Work, I wouldn't necessarily say, well, I see people working hard.
Yeah.
Other than the guy's shining shoes. I see maybe a juxtaposition in contrast in social statuses and you know, wealth and all this kind of stuff. But that, I don't think straight away hard work.
No.
I think hard life,
it's
easy
not
life.
Like slinging a pickaxe on a chain gang or something, is it?
No, and the next one says a girl in a polka dot top holding the back of her head.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, tells me nothing.
Yep.
Then they'd be at some classic photos, a Sally Mann photograph of her daughter smoking a fake cigarette. It's called, the photo's called Candy Cigarette. Not just displays something, it tells a story. It's both emotional and beautiful. This is what the originality of black and white photography is all about. What? It doesn't tell you anything.
No.
Except for this kid with a bit of attitude holding a fake cigarette. I mean, that shows some. I mean, it's a great photo. It's cool. There's elements of the photo that are cool. The elements that kind of sucked in my eye, but it doesn't tell me a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the one called Pilgrim.
To me, that whole image would have been better if they'd cropped out the top and the left.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Get rid of the kid on stilts in the background.
Needs a 40% crop.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly right.
Anyway.
Next one down is called Pilgrim. It's some guy crawling along the ground. Now, to me, it looks like it's some guy who's been run over by a car, maybe. But what it is this pilgrimage to Lhasa, and they do it crawling on the hands and knees.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, okay. Yeah, but the photo is, and it goes on and on and on and on. So it just got me to thinking, you know?
Yeah.
How hard it is to tell a story in a photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah, a picture tells 1,000 words. Well, it doesn't.
Mm.
You know, or it doesn't do it easily.
No.
So I'm thinking, well, how do you do it? And I'm thinking, well, how does photojournalism not completely fail then? Because the photo is only relevant if you read the words around it.
Exactly, and that was exactly what I was about to say. Was that in most of these instances, these images work because they support a text-based delivery, whether it's on a web page or in a printed magazine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right, that you don't get the entire story just out of the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? So that kind of did my head in. Then I saw one of my favourite subject headings, Top 10 Tips. You know how much I love those. But this one top 10 tips for turning pro in 2020.
Right.
And this guy's actually got some good points.
Okay.
So I'm not going to go through them because there's not that many of our listeners are looking to turn pro in 2020. But if there are one or two out there, but it's good stuff. It's like start block working as an example.
Okay.
So block working is when you do as many tasks as you can over all the different things that you're trying to do that are all similar at one time. And so you group the tasks you have to do for simplicity and immediacy and keeping the workflow of doing the same kind of thing. So let's say you had 10 jobs that you need to convert, say we're talking photos here, you had 10 jobs you'd done, you had to convert 5 images from each one into black and white.
Oh, okay.
Well, you do all those at one time rather than do each job individually.
Yep.
And then do each of those 5 black and white ones because the process it can be sped up dramatically if you batch process, whatever. So that kind of made sense.
Yep.
And one other good one, which we probably all should do, is only check your emails or social media once a day.
Yes.
Set aside a time. that you just do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a good one, I think, for everybody as well. Don't shoot unless you can justify how it will make you better.
Nice.
Unless there's a reason for the shoot that's actually, it's not just another thing, like you've done 1,000 of those things before.
Yeah.
There's the whole thing about, you know, the more photographs you take, the better you'll be by shooting more.
Mm.
It's rubbish. You take less shots but in better situations, it will probably give you a better chance of things.
Yeah.
And then I liked his cash cow or portfolio work only. So you only take jobs that pay.
Yep.
And what I liked especially about this, though, was I'm glad I said we're not going to talk about this one, if the job won't give you loads of money, but in brackets, relative to how badly you need that cash.
Yes.
So that's the thing. Sometimes $100 mm-hmm. is desperately needed. And you take the $5,000, but if you're needing cash and someone's offering you $100 for a job,
you'll do it.
You'll do it, exactly. So it's relative to how badly you need cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then, only take cash cow jobs or works that you can show in your portfolio that's going to be good enough and strong enough that will showcase you as a better photographer.
Yeah.
All the other jobs, all the other time for portfolio, all the other. Unless they're going to be epic, just don't do them because, of course, that gives you more time to be doing the good stuff.
Yep.
And I did like he's also stopped buying new camera gear.
Yep.
I don't know you and I don't know what camera gear you have, but assume you've got a camera and a lens. Don't buy anything else until you make money.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So, of course, and I did like his 10th one, go on workshops.
Yeah. For some reason.
That spoke to me. Spoke volumes to me for some reason. It would. Now, what's the name? Google, because we've talked about iPhone a lot.
Yeah.
I thought I'd better mention eGoogly has put out their Pixel 4.
Oh, okay.
This week, and I've ignored everything about it.
Right.
Pretty much.
So have I.
Except for that it does live, when you're looking at the back of the screen, it shows you live HDR.
Wow.
Which is, when you think about it, that's, whilst you're looking at the screen, transposing multiple images of different exposure live on the screen. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
live and active and motion in motion. There was a huge debate on D-Preview, or DP-Review, whichever you prefer to call it, about, because they've said they've got now the 2x telephoto lens.
Right.
And it's a 48mm, which I might add is smaller than Apple's telephoto lens.
Okay.
But there's a big debate about whether a 48 can be considered a telephoto or not.
Yeah. It's 48 in 35mm terms. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. But it's the whole, and I'm not going to go into all the details because it started doing my brain in a little bit. But this one guy brought up that back in the 80s, Olympus had this fabulous camera called Olympus XA.
Okay.
And it had a 35mm lens.
Right.
Okay. Now, on a 35mm camera, it had a 35mm lens. Now, in our world, we would all consider that to be what? Kind of lens? What kind of lens? A 35mm lens and a 35mm camera, we'd consider that to be a...
No.
A wide angle, Bruce, is what you're supposed to say.
Oh, okay.
A 35mm lens is what kind of lens?
A wide angle lens.
Okay, but it wasn't. It was a telephoto lens.
Right. Why?
Okay. Because of the optical design.
Oh, okay.
So the optical design will determine whether it's a telephoto or a wide angle. You can have a 300mm wide angle lens.
Oh, okay,
because of the optical layout, not because of the actual angle of view,
right?
Which is kind of bizarre. So, if anyone's actually interested in that, follow that Google Pixel 4 thing down there, and it's down there in the many views. But I had to straight away look at the comments because that's always going to be the funniest part of anything on D-Preview,
yeah,
or D-Review, and The very first comment was, "What about the video camera, you idiot writer of this story?" It's the first, because apparently there's an entire article and didn't mention the video once.
The second reply, the only idiot writer here is the original commenter.
That's right. Yeah, damn, that's harsh and totally unnecessary. Take anger management therapy. Good Lord, is this forum moderated? I got banned from the Fuji board for 10 times less than that times 1,000. What does that even mean?
That they failed mathematics.
Oh, God. But if you do it, 10 times less times 1,000,
I like the next one, angry because of your own mediocrity.
And there's lots more good stuff on that thing. So just if you want some fun, go read the 350 comments on that page.
Lovely.
Now, I did come across, because my next one was the No More Blown Highlight.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't do that one because Adam's got it in there.
Yeah.
But then I came across an article on, I think it was on, I don't know, one of the photo sites. Have you ever wondered what photographing grey owls in the wild is like?
Right.
And I didn't, and I don't, and I never have, so I didn't put the link in.
Fair enough.
And then there's this Chinese information technology security guy.
Right.
Has come out and start saying, stop doing the peace signs in front of cameras.
Oh, okay.
Now, straight away I'm thinking, okay, it's Chinese. They don't want anyone saying peace because they're But no. Apparently, if you're within 5 feet of a camera and do a peace sign, he can read your fingerprints and make an exact copy of them.
Well, that's going to depend on the resolution of the photograph being taken.
He says he can do it.
But given the way sensor size is, you know, constantly increasing, it's a believable claim.
Pretty darn scary when you think about it, isn't
it?
So now I'm only going to give the finger with like the fingernail pointing the other way, not the fingers pointing at the camera.
I have two comments on that.
Flip it around. Do you?
Yeah.
What's the second one?
If you're making the peace sign, you deserve to have your identity stolen.
Oh, yeah, fair point. Yeah, fair point. Yeah.
And my first question was, do you really want to be stealing the identity of someone who's making a peace sign in a photo?
That's a good point. You know, I took my children a couple of school holidays to our Luna Park, our amusement park.
Melbourne, yep.
Yeah, with roller coasters and all this sort of stuff.
Hmm.
And, on the roller coaster, of course, the camera takes a photo.
Oh, okay.
And you can buy the photo for some outrageous fee, of course.
Yep.
So anyway, so my daughters are on it and they're coming down and the photo is pretty cute of them both. Yeah, looking pretty good. But there's this girl, two seats in front, she's given the double backwards peace sign.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the two fingers pointing, but kind of pointing inwards towards herself, but double backwards fingers, fingernails pointing at the camera. So I've looked at it and look at it and say, well, it's ruined my photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this two, and this girl's coming and she goes, ha, ha, look at that. I said, yeah, you just ruined my kid's photo.
Yeah.
She goes, why? I said, because of your two signs. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, saying get in my photo in front of my kids, it's not what I want in my photo. She goes, what do you mean? I said, that means get. She goes, no, it doesn't. I said, yes, it does. She goes, no, it doesn't. I said, it doesn't. I said, what does it mean? She goes, it means peace. I said, no, this way is peace. That way is get. She goes, not to us, it doesn't, and walked off. So to young people, pointing the fingers is peace.
Right.
Like, really? It's like, God, who told, what, I mean, am I now insulted? Are we now being mean to people by doing the peace sign at them? Are we telling them to get... It's all swapped around. It's all changed. What happens if I put one middle finger up? What am I saying to people now?
Don't know.
If I can't trust these gestures, if you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off, so you have to forcibly get back in front of them and you pop them the middle finger, are you saying have a nice day? Or are you saying I'm sorry for letting my car get in the way?
That's exactly what I've intended every time I've done it.
You know. I think I'm getting too old. I'm not sure of the world anymore, Bruce. Yeah? Not sure of the world. So anyway, so that's my week.
Excellent.
I'm done and dusted. I'm all done.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
No, because just before game online, I was reading in their local paper.
Hmm. Do you still get the paper?
Well, it was on the phone.
Oh, okay, right. The digital version of your local paper.
Exactly. The famed photograph of Iwo Jima in World War II of the guys raising the flags.
Yep.
Yeah. Because they've come out and said, well, we've wrongly identified one of the people in the photograph for the last 74 years.
Oh, how did they know? How did they find out?
I have no idea how. But apparently a couple of years ago, they said, oh, we've got this other person wrong as well.
Right.
So added six people in the photograph, they'd mistakenly named two of them.
For three quarters of a century.
But get this. What? Three of those six guys tragically died a little bit later in battle.
Right.
Which I know that makes it fairly, more
poignant.
That's the word. But they took two or three of those guys out of active duty to do a national tour of America. So out of that conflict, they took them around there because they were the poster boys for it.
Yeah.
But one of the two they took was a guy who wasn't in the photo. They named him as being in the photo,
right.
And he wasn't. So this guy's gone on this tour, he's waving, he's cheering, he's going, yeah, that's me, boys. You can't see the back of his head. And all this time. And his son wrote a book about this flag thing. It's called The Flags of Our Fathers, which was adapted into an Oscar-nominated Clint Eastwood film.
Right.
So the guy who wasn't there, who didn't lift the flag, who got toured around America, son wrote this book, which was made into a film about the flag. And he wasn't even there. Well, he was on the island, but he wasn't.
But he wasn't in the photo.
What an amazing story.
Yeah.
You know? Once again, how does this come out 74 years later?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
So I just, I'll bring that one up just before I went to do something else that's actually interesting. So from the world's most pointless podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, that's probably a little harsh. From the world's most pointless photography podcast.
Right.
We will bid you all adieu.
Absolutely. You have a good week, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate. I hope those transcoding of those file things code out correctly for you.
So do I.
Is that what you do? Is it you transcode them?
Well, it's not only the transcoding.
Or don't they identify as transcoding?
Yes, they do. there's a bit more to it than that, though. But anyway, thank you.
I don't even know what a transcode is, so,
All right, you have a good week.
All right, bye, everyone.
See ya.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.